T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Going to be an interesting Thursday ahead. Of course, Andy and Randy top of the hour at 10. And then Dukes and Bell, who they'll have Jeff Collins, head coach of Georgia Tech, talk a little bit about the Jackets as they open up their workouts and get ready. We haven't heard yet about the ACC and the SEC. Get into that in just a moment. Headlines today include, as mentioned, the opening round of the PGA, first major that we have had, Hugh, in over a year, 13 months to be exact. Out in San Francisco, of course, play hasn't started yet. It's only 6 in the morning out there. Tiger teeing off at 11:30, playing with Rory today in a threesome out there. If you want to get ESPN Plus and pay for it, because it's the only
still
place you can watch it.
Behind that, huh? A little bit. Still in your
still?
Feelings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We gave you all kind of solutions, but I think you just rather complain. We gave you some solutions. We gave you solutions, man. You didn't want to take them, though. For free, we gave you a free solution. You didn't want to take it, but that's fine.
Yeah, but I think your free solution is illegal, so I'm just saying.
It's only illegal if you tell somebody you just told everybody on the air. I mean, you could have did it.
I pay the $5 a month. I give my password to whomever I want to give my password
it's
to.
It's his password.
It's my password. It's Abe's password, whatever. Give it to whoever we want to give it to.
Then why don't you just tweet it out and let the entire nation happen?
I can't do that, John.
He was looking out for you, John. But, okay,
everybody
fine.
Know my business.
Now you know you can't look out for John Fricky anymore.
No,
that's how John does.
I'm going to tell everybody my business.
I just don't.
Hey,
I just said, I mean, is it legal? I don't know. If it's not legal, then, you know, I don't know. I mean,
mess around and have my credit card number on every website in the world, John Fricky.
No, you're absolutely right. I think I can spit for the $5. I mean, I'm not that cheap, as far as you know. To me, it was just more the point of it all. I mean, you know, if you want to watch the opening round of a major, actually, it's the opening two rounds today and tomorrow, you have to have ESPN Plus. I don't fault ESPN. They're just trying to make money. Hey, listen, that's fine. Good for them. But you might think that the PGA would say, wait a minute now, maybe we put this on the Golf Channel here or on, TV that everybody could access. But they did what they did.
Yeah, they thinking about it. They ain't stirring you. They ain't stirring you right now.
Right. The Braves get ready to play against the Blue Jays tonight. Tuki Toussaint, Hugh, on the mound. Saw some good things from Sean Newcomb yesterday, which was a little bit okay, good. Max Fried, Sean Newcomb. Okay, well, I can, for the moment, check Sean Newcomb in there. But we need to those are two lefties. We need to see a right-hander or two be able to come in and do it. And let's see what Tuki has tonight. So a lot of focus in on Tuki's start this evening against Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, because it's that time, John. It's that time where, you know, somebody has to step up. We talked about it. We've been talking about it for the last couple of days. Somebody needs to step up, and somebody needs to take the reins of this and put our minds at ease as far as who's going to step up for the fact that Soroka's hurt.
And then, of course, we'll have potentially the return of Nick Markakis into the lineup. He pinch hit last night. And we'll see what Cakes has as far as, you know, his impact on this team and how he can help. And hopefully we get more than just the two hits the Braves got last night against Ryu and the pen of the Toronto Blue Jays. And today, again, the opt-outs for the NFL. At the moment, I just saw a note here. 4 o'clock is the deadline, by the way, 4 o'clock Eastern time for players to opt out. NFL Network saying so far, and, of course, now we may hear more here as we go through this hour and the rest of the day. I'm sure we will. That as of this morning, there were 66-0 players that had opted out. The NFLPA, Hugh, says that at the moment, 56 players have tested positive for COVID-19 since they began reporting to camp, about 2% of the players on active rosters. That's just so far, though. And right now, you know, we'll see how that goes and progresses. But 2% of the players so far have tested positive for COVID as the NFL gets ramped up here. So let's see how, you know, Ian Rapoport saying that's a good sign. Okay, I'll go with you. It's a good sign. But we'll cross our fingers that as, you know, camps get going, that stays that at that number or it doesn't go out there. Because
yeah, let us hope. I mean, you know, everybody's we're being optimistic, John. I mean, that's the biggest thing right now. We're just trying to be as optimistic as we possibly can, you know, and make it happen. So, yeah.
We all know that the Big Ten released its football schedule yesterday. And apparently afterwards there was a conference call with the coaches. And Jim Harbaugh, Michigan man. And Ryan Day, head coach at Ohio State, apparently had some words during the conference call. Says here, Hugh, while on the call, Ryan Day was talking, and suddenly Jim Harbaugh interrupted him to say that OSU was violating the rules, breaking the rules, by having on-field instruction and drills, which are not permitted until this Friday. Harbaugh brought up Al Washington by name and mentioned a picture that surfaced with Washington working with some of the Buckeyes linebackers. Well, Al Washington's a coach at OSU. Day fired back, "How about I worry about my team and you worry about yours?" Later on, apparently, Day told his team in a team meeting that the Buckeyes are going to hang 100 on Michigan this year.
You know what's funny about this, and Coach Harbaugh has a point, but he played himself because number one, he let everybody know that they were spying on Ohio State. Like he let them know that they're actually spying on Ohio State. And then for him to be in his feelings like that and say it, like he couldn't hold that in. That's one of those ones that, you know, you're sitting there talking and everybody's trying to be mature about the situation. And you just say, well, he was out there working with his players this weekend. Yeah, that's what I hear. When they say that, John, that's exactly what I hear. I hear him saying it like just like that. Like a little child that feels like he's been slighted. I hear it just like that.
Hugh, we just had some breaking news here. The ACC has now released its football schedule, much like the Big Ten did yesterday. Not to get back to our discussion about Harbaugh and Day, we'll certainly see those two on the field. We now know that Georgia Tech will not face Clemson in its opening game. In fact, Georgia Tech will open against Florida State, Hugh. And so, not that that's
that
much
should be
easier.
A pretty good game.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, Florida State is you know, they're in a little bit of a, I guess you could say transition. Is that safe to say? Is that fair? A little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's so it'll be. And by the way, we know that the Big Ten is going to open on September the 3rd. Ohio State at Illinois. The ACC schedule says September the 12th. For the opening week, and that again, 2 weeks ahead of the SEC. So the ACC is going to have played two games by the time the Big Ten will have played three, and the ACC will play two by the time the SEC gets going. So SEC, I only mention this because I think SEC fans are going to be jonesing so hard watching everybody else play. They're going, ah, what about us? You know, that would be hard. I think as an SEC fan, it would be hard to watch other leagues playing for 2 or 3 weeks before you get a chance to get going.
I would assume so. I would assume so, but I think most time, John, is just people just happy that football is here. I mean, this is a different time. This is not like any other football season where, you know, that would probably take precedence. This is a season where if teams are playing, people are just happy to see teams playing, I would think. You know, don't want to speak out of turn for anybody, but that's what I would think in a situation like this.
Georgia Tech will open against on the 12th of September against Florida State. On the 19th, they will play Central Florida. This was something that Central Florida had wanted to do, and you know, of course, Todd Stansbury with Georgia Tech and the ties that he has to UCF. So, and everybody in the ACC is playing a non-conference game. Notre Dame's playing Western Michigan, and Florida State's playing Samford and whatnot. So, Georgia Tech will play Central Florida in Week 2. Then they'll play Syracuse before an off week. Looking deeper into the schedule in October, in a 3-week period, Boston College on the 24th, Hugh, for Georgia Tech, and that's sandwiched between Clemson on the 17th, now the 17th of October, and Notre Dame on the 31st. So in a three-game stretch, Georgia Tech's going to have to play both Clemson and Notre Dame. So that'll be a little bit difficult.
Yeah, we'll see what they're made of. I mean, no doubt. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the coach team is up for the task. We'll see what they're made of.
Yeah, so we'll see how they are doing that. I mean, Georgia Tech again against Florida State. Jeff Collins will be on with Dukeson Bell, head coach at Georgia Tech, a little bit later on today. And in his news conference yesterday, he was talking, Coach Collins was, Hugh. I was watching it. And he was talking about how it was kind of interesting because before the season, they sit down, all the coaches, and they break down all the teams that are going to play during the year. And, of course, this was based on the schedule that they had previous.
Mm-hmm.
Which included most of the ACC teams and whatnot. But they also broke down and spent a lot of time breaking down Notre Dame because they were going to play one of those Notre Dame games, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So now that Notre Dame is fully into the league, they had already, you know, done the work on Notre Dame. So I think from a preparation standpoint, and that's probably true of just about everybody, I think, but from a – because it's a conference only now, and everybody kind of knows everybody anyway – But they had already broken those guys down, and he talked about his team a little bit, more about, you know, taking care of his team from a COVID standpoint. But I hope he gets into with Dukeson Bell a little bit more about what the expectation level is out of his team. He's got all those transfers coming in, Hugh. Impact players, 4- and 5-star guys from places like Tennessee and Florida and Miami and Notre Dame. All these transfers that have come in, because I think there's an expectation level, and I think rightfully so, that Georgia Tech will be, at the very worst, a 500 football team this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case. But, you know, but the thing that I think is realistic about all of this, John, is that we know that this pandemic has thrown everybody for a curve. And with coaches getting ready and getting their teams prepared, even though Coach Collins has all those big guys that look the part that he wanted them to look and everything, is that they haven't really had a chance to come together. They haven't had a chance to put it all together. So that's a little bit of an issue right now.
Just looking at the ACC has just released its schedule to open September the 12th. Georgia Tech will face Florida State. Might be about the biggest game of the schedule. Notre Dame will face Duke. Clemson will open against Wake Forest. And Syracuse, North Carolina. Virginia actually opens with its non-conference game against VMI, so they probably have the easiest one. Wake Forest has got the duty. Yeah, Wake Forest, go Deeks, go. The Deeks got to play Clemson to open. Good luck to you, Deeks. More power to you. Your quarterback's in Athens. That's all I'm saying. Good luck to you. Coming up next, Will Carroll. Did we just talk to Will? Yeah, unfortunately we did because we had to talk about Mike Soroka. But there's other things to talk about with Will Carroll, our injury expert. And we'll tee him up on a bunch of different topics here, including there's some concern about Max Scherzer in Washington. We'll talk to him about that as we continue next. On The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game and worldwide streaming at radio.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. Will Carroll is one of the leading experts in the entire nation on sports injuries, and he is our injury expert, columnist for Under the Knife. That's his big column, and you can get it just Google search Under the Knife or underthenife.substack.com. His injury report every week sponsored by Johnson and Alday Injury Attorneys. You can visit johnsonalday.com, and he joins us again a couple of days after the whole Mike Soroka thing. Back at his normal time slot. Hey, Will.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. Now, Will, you know, with us, now we have an issue with Ozzie Albies in this wrist. How is it affecting his hitting at the plate?
Yeah, it seems to be. He's up there. He's just not comfortable. We're not seeing the same kind of whip. You know, we don't have the same kind of stats that we get with pitchers. We don't see bat speed. We see exit velocity, and you have to hit the ball to get that. So we've seen a dip there on the times where he's actually hitting that. So we've got to think that whatever's going on with that wrist, whether it's a nerve issue, whether it's a cartilage issue, we don't have any clarity on that, that it is bothering him. So they've got to get that cleared up. And wrists are very, very complicated. You know, people think it's, you know, just kind of a hinge like the elbow, but it is not. There are so many small bones, cartilage, nerves, it's just a mess. Tiny little bones, if they get just a little bit out of alignment, it's really problematic to get them back. So this is one we're going to have to watch. Guys who get wrist problems, it tends to get chronic.
You know, we spend a lot of time, and we know about Mike Soroka, and I want to thank you for your expertise, because I think a lot of Braves fans will, when they were reading, and if you haven't heard Will, it's on our, we linked it to our Facebook page and to our Twitter. 929 The Game to listen to the interview we did Tuesday. But for the benefit of those who didn't hear, I think maybe we should go back a little bit and just touch on that again. What is your prognosis for the recovery of Mike Soroka, and when do you think Braves fans will see him again?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a normal, unfortunately, all too normal Achilles rupture, and he's going to have it repaired. They'll stitch that sucker right back together, and it's really as simple as that. And we've seen, basically in the last decade, a little bit of a change in technique there has led to better rehab outcomes, and it's gone from something that was 12 to 18 months to something like 6 to 9 months. So all he has to do is count up from there. There's no reason to think Soroka, a young, healthy guy, is going to go any longer than that. So we're looking at anywhere from the start of training camp to very shortly thereafter, assuming we're on a normal schedule. So we're going to see him in 2021. The idea that he's going to lose all of next season, I just don't know where people get that idea.
Mookie Betts.
Yep. Go ahead.
You got what we doing, John? What you want?
You want to go ahead? You.
Okay, Mookie Betts. You know, he injured his middle finger. How did that happen?
Yeah, that one's unclear. But fingers are difficult. You know, you got to be able to grip the bat. They're letting him play the field, but they're trying to get this going. So what I'm told is it's a tendon. So it's kind of one of the pulleys in the finger. He's just not able to get the same grip. And if you don't have your grip strength, you don't have the fine bat control. And this is really important. For a guy like Betts, who, again, just like Albies, has great bat speed, you've got to be able to control it. You can't just whip the bat through one zone, because just watch some of those pitches. They're moving all over the place. Dustin May throwing a 99-mile-an-hour pitch that moved like a screwball. It's just crazy what some of these guys are doing out there. So even somebody as good as Mookie Betts, somebody as simple as grip strength, if you have just a little bit of a loss there, it doesn't look like he's going to be out too long. They were willing to put him back out in the field where he's doing really well. This one's a day-to-day situation while they try to get this finger issue cleared up.
Will Carroll is our injury expert at underthenife.substack.com. Will, we were talking about Mike Soroka. Max Scherzer, do we have any update on him? What happened last night? He came out of the game, didn't come back into the game. Do we know what's going on with Max?
Yeah, he's got a hamstring strain. Evidently, he did this a while back, though I went back and watched his last start. They said he was pitching through it. I didn't see any change. There was no time where he was walking funny or, you know, was shaking the leg out. But, hey, let's take him at their word for this. And it's a minor hamstring strain. He just wasn't throwing well in that first inning. And he said, you know what? Let's pull him out of there and make sure this doesn't get any worse. So we're going to have to watch this. You know, they're getting Steven Strasburg back. But you know, if they don't have Scherzer and Strasburg, that Nats team is not going to repeat.
Will Carroll's our injury expert. Hugh and I were talking throughout the last couple of days, and Hugh, you know, your experience as a player weighs heavily into this. Well, the opt-out deadline is at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah.
So far, the NFL has said that 60 players have opted out. That doesn't mean that they're – I want to be real clear here. That does not mean they have tested positive. There's just 60 players have opted out.
Right.
Okay. But the NFLPA is saying 56 players have tested positive since this began. And out of about 2,000 or about 2% have tested positive. The only one I think we know for sure, obviously, is as far as players go, is Zeke Elliott. But – is there a percentage of players, in your opinion, where it becomes, you know, almost non-viable? I mean, does it have to? I mean, 2% you could probably handle. Can you handle 10%? Or if you get to 20%, does it become just, you know, not a viable thing?
No, here's the problem. What we're going to have is nearly 0% across teams, much like with baseball. We've seen that it can get out of hand pretty quickly. It's not just one player that gets it. It's 5, 6, 7. And that's where you have the problem, even in a bigger sport like football. You know, if you lose two linemen, you're in trouble. If you're down three or four wide receivers, that's why one of the things I saw, I forget which team it was, but I think it was Cincinnati, so they had four quarterbacks in camp, and they were putting them all in different rooms. So rather than having their meetings together, they're having them over Zoom or something secure. I guess Microsoft has got the sponsorship on that. So they're having to keep the players separated, and that's just not going to be normal. We're going to have to figure out what's going to work because, you know, well, I think they can get away with games if we're seeing 2, 3, 4% positives because you're just going to have pockets of it. You've got to really keep it out of teams. New Orleans is doing – they got like five floors of a downtown hotel near the stadium where they're kind of having a mini bubble. But even then, you know, you've got people on elevators, you're walking around. This is going to be really difficult. I think, you know, we've seen it. The bubbles work with the NHL and the NBA and the MLS. So this is a situation more like baseball, except with a much worse setup. There's more travel. These guys are very, very close to each other. I don't see how they're going to get away with zero, even with as much emphasis as they're putting on things. Because as seriously as they're taking this, as much as they're doing, we're still seeing wackadoo stuff like John Elway's nano crystal sprayer. The minute that stuff starts sneaking in, people start letting off the gas a little bit, and we'll see, you know, an outbreak here and an outbreak there.
Hugh, would you be comfortable as a former player in a bubble like New Orleans, like Will's talking about?
You mean in a hotel?
Yeah.
You mean having somebody, you know, make up my bed for me all the time and I can just order food whenever I want it and watch free cable and be in a hotel for like months? That kind of situation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? Am I having my – have all the towels that I want and being able to just, you know, run amok like that in a hotel – I did say towels, didn't I? Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay.
Yeah, that's the thing is that, you know, a lot of guys will say that, but, you know, it's a weekend in a hotel is nice. A month in a hotel gets a little bit constricting, especially if you can't go out and, you know, get some wings.
Well, you know what? Hey, Will, I'll bring my Xbox. My rookie year, I lived in the hotel in New York in Long Island for like a month because I couldn't find a place to stay. So I've done that. Not to the extent where I had to be quarantined in a hotel, but I've done that before.
You know, the issue is that it's extensive and that, you know, they're telling you you can't do something.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's
guys,
a little different.
There's urges out there, and just being told you can't do something makes you want to do it.
Yeah, this is true. Definitely, definitely true.
Well, I mean, I do appreciate all the help you've given us, and I think a lot of Braves fans are thankful that you were able to give us kind of a working model for Mike Soroka here and about his return in 2021. That, you know, because there were a lot of, you know, speculation that, you know, as soon as, he's going to be lost this year and next year and we won't see him, he'll be permanently damaged. And you kind of put that all in perspective for us this week. And I just want to say thank you for doing that.
Well, I'm glad to do it for you guys. Thanks a lot, guys.
You the man. Thanks.
Will Carroll, injury expert, Under the Knife columnist, joining us every Thursday at this time. Well, more on the ACC schedule here. And some of the fans are reacting to the ACC schedule, which has come out in the last half hour or so. Georgia Tech's opener, not going to be against Clemson anymore. That was the original plan. That's been scrapped. They won't play Clemson until middle of the year. We'll do that and some of the takeaways of the show today. All ahead, Andy and Randy, top of the hour, Sports Radio 90, Turn the Game, and worldwide at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.